Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is not normally the first voice you hear on this wonderful show, but I'll take you back to a time of aught 15 when we started a wonderful Business is Art show. My name's Cam Pierce.
My name's John Umstead.
Nope, that's not how we did it last time.
Y'all, you screwed it up already.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it.
You're right, we didn't. That's true.
I didn't know how it was going. I figured we should get him in there quick so people were like, oh, who the hell is this guy? Get out of here. I'm done. This isn't John Umstead.
No.
Not well, what I tune in for.
Would you like to tell them who
and
you
I'm
are?
And I'm Justin T. Webb.
Oh, there you go. So Justin and myself, in case you don't listen to every episode of Business is Art, are the co-founders of TrueChat, the network that this is hosted on.
Yay!
And the first ever episode of Business is Art, which about 8,700 of you listened to from what I just looked at. What's happening? Why are we shaking our head?
I was impressed by the numbers.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, so there we go. But so 8,000 of you listened to, but we've had more than that since then. The first episode was hosted by Justin and myself, and we just quizzed John about about anything. That's probably true. I'll toot my own horn on that for sure. But we just asked John questions about what he did with his life before he started or wrote his own book. Now started his own software since then. So I tell you what, he's a trailblazer. And
Cam,
many
the better,
things.
The better question is what John hasn't done.
That's, oh my God. Same. I tell you what, you ought to be hosting this show.
Nah.
You just knocked that one right out of the park. So, John.
Yes, sir.
Since the first episode of Business is Art, how do you feel about it now? You've done
100
episodes of this.
Yeah. Over a year.
100 episodes. So when we first sat down and talked about doing this show, I certainly didn't have 100 episodes in mind. I was really just thinking of something to do to kind of promote the book, right? And it blossomed and developed into something else. And I've actually, it seems like recently a lot of people have been asking me about doing the show and why I do it and what do I get out of it. And I just said today, you know, to me it's every week I get to learn something. I'm getting guests on the show that have done something, know something that I don't, and they teach me every week, and I love that. So it's like a continuing education for me, and hopefully we're educating others and sharing some things that people are interested in. I don't know what the question was. It's just been kind of rambling here.
No, that was kind of, I mean, that was kind of
it. Yeah, that's how you feel. So
yeah,
it's kind of an open-ended deal.
It was the therapist question that we asked just to start, and when you say things, we're listening. So that was the intended result, there, and you did it.
Oh,
so
good.
I agree. I mean, producing this show for almost all 100 episodes, it's been that same exact thing for me, just hearing what people do. I didn't know even half of these careers in my front mind even existed before I started, you know, producing and obviously having to listen to Business is Art probably about 5 times every week to edit it and listen to it the first time and have to go back and click things and stuff like that. So yeah, I agree with you totally on that.
Well, that's been a fun experience, that's for sure. So, yeah.
I'm curious, in the 100 episodes that you've now completed at the end of this one, would you do it again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Knowing what you know
more.
Today.
Let's 100
say
more.
I would probably do it a little bit differently. You know, when we first started, we were a little bit limited in our technical capabilities, right?
And
so to have guests on or in, they had to be in the studio fortunately, TrueChat expanded rather rapidly after that, and that has really opened the doors to bring in guests from all over the place. So I think if I had it all to do over again, that would be an initial objective, is to have guests from literally anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, for those people that don't know the story, I mean, John was a guinea pig. He's part of what launched the network show model, because he came to us and was interested in trying to figure out, you know, is there a way I can be on the network? How would that work? What would it look like? And we're like, I guess. I mean, yeah. If you want to be, I suppose.
Old guy with a boring topic, sure. Yeah,
that's right.
Whatever.
Mean, you know, it was basically us saying yes and then figuring out, as we often
how
do,
we did it, yeah.
How to make it work. But it ended up launching us into a whole, you know, another realm of focusing on this now, because obviously we have a lot of other people that we've worked with who have the same goal in mind. So it's interesting to see how it's developed, and you've gotten to kind of, you've had the opportunity to experience the development along with us.
And experiment with, you know, because it has been kind of an experiment. And I feel like, you know, especially lately, we've begun to hit a groove. Mm-hmm. And it just took a while to kind of find some of those things because it has been an experience and an experiment. But I think we're getting some really good traction now and doing some real good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you and I were talking about, I mean, via email, communicating about listenership and that kind of stuff, and mm-hmm. just discussing about, you know, how, as we've always known, once you get the ball rolling, then it really starts to roll a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, sometimes it can be really difficult to get the right snow, if you will, that packs just right and, you know, will add to it and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, in terms of doing it over again, just some lessons learned for anyone out there thinking about doing a podcast for whatever reason. Like I say, when we started Business as Art, I was thinking of it as a promotional avenue for the book that was being published right at exactly that same time. You guys, I think, were experimenting with it, just experimenting with different types of programming to have on True Chat. So for me, if I were doing it again, I probably would have started the podcast well in advance of the book, as opposed to they came out right at exactly the same time. And there are a lot of things I would have done in advance of the book that I did either at the same time the book was released or after the fact. But I would have spent a lot more effort, you know, at least 6 months of effort, if not more, in building the platform first through the podcast, through blogging, through whatever else.
Right.
And then release the book, and I kind of did it bass backwards, and I think I suffered a little bit from that. So
I think it's, you know, like with anything new, it's trying to figure it out. And I mean, there's also things like, since you started it at a time where it was an experiment for us, you know, something that's changed since then is that we do show plans for all you know, all incoming clients, where we really nail down a lot more of that stuff. What are you hoping to achieve, and trying to measure it? I mean, we can actually thank John for a lot of that, because it's his platform and program that he presents in the book that has been the cornerstone of some of how we've crafted what has become the network show model, making sure that there's a plan and a way to, you know, actually articulate said plan and then track the plan. So,
which is why I think I'm among the highest paid hosts on the True Chat Network.
Absolutely. Yes.
You're certainly in front of me if you're getting any money. So. That is for sure. Oh, I tell you what, there have just been, like we said, 100 episodes. Do you have a favorite?
You know, I think we did kind of a similar thing about a year ago on the 50th episode.
Yeah, I think
right?
we did actually, and we talked about the beer episode. I'm actually remembering this
and
now.
The beer episode still stands out as as my favorite for multiple reasons. But you know, the obvious is that, well, we had beer.
That's true.
On the show.
On the show. I mean, during the show.
I was so glad I was in attendance for that one. I was producing my butt off back there drinking beer.
Yeah, yeah. But what was cool about that episode for me was that was a case where I truly had no idea how we were going to turn beer tasting into a business relatable topic,
right?
That you know, many would be interested in, not just beer drinkers, and we pulled it off. And you know, and I just thought that was a pretty cool thing, and that's why it stands out as a favorite, because that was one of the most unplanned episodes that we that we had, but one of the ones that we were most looking forward to, and we turned it into something that I think was a business lesson for any listener.
Oh yeah,
you know,
plus drinking beer, obviously.
Yeah. We say in the read for Business as Art that John Umstead, author and business consultant. I usually throw in John Umstead, author and business consultant extraordinaire.
There you go.
Discussing funding, planning, tracking, and the execution at different levels of business. Learn from John and his many guests from how you too can succeed in the world of business and in the game of life.
So,
and I think the second part is an excellent point, because I don't know if you've observed this, but in listening to the show, I have observed the evolution of so much of business isn't just about the, you know, specifics of running a business. It also has so much to do with why you're doing it and how you balance that with your life and what's important to you, because those things ultimately affect how you're successful.
Yeah, particularly in small business and for business owners, but also in larger companies, you know, in your career and if you're an organizational leader, but especially when it comes to small business and ownership, there's often no real line between personal life and business life, right? They are one and the same, and if they aren't one and the same, the difference between the two is a lot of gray matter. So what's been a pretty cool experience with both the podcast and just over my career in general is that I typically just seem to automatically anymore see commonality between business and life solutions. So if there's an approach to business that works, chances are pretty darn good it's going to work in your personal life as well if you just have the discipline to do it in your personal life.
We should have named your show Life is a Business.
There you go. Life and businesses.
Life and business.
Yeah. It's all an artful journey.
I have a bigger question, but I want to save it because it might require
a long one?
Some extended time.
That's fine. So before we do that, it has been a great conversation so far until Justin T's phone dings in the middle of the phone.
I promise I had it on silent.
That's a lie. I literally know that's a lie right now. So when you tune in to the weekly screen, you'll be sure to hear Alex and Cam discuss a movie or TV show every week from new releases to time-honored classics every Monday by 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you listen until the end of the show for next week's movie. In addition to the weekly screen, TrueChat has a full selection of sports, politics, entertainment, business, lifestyle, and more, so be sure to head over to TrueChat.org or tune in by downloading the TrueChat mobile app, TrueChat. That's how you spell TrueChat. I tell you what. So do you want to ask your question?
Hey, can I ask a question first?
You can.
Speaking of...
this is your show.
Speaking of the weekly screen, which is the show of the week this week, so get out there and check it out with Cam and Alex. Anyway.
Oh, man. See, I tell you what, that's what 100 episodes of podcasts will do for
that's
you,
right.
baby.
That cross promotion.
That's
why you're
comes
here on
out.
The True Chat Network.
Ooh, that's right, the True Chat Network.
Natural.
So, but have you guys tuned into Godless yet?
No, I want to really bad. That one is on my list. I'm still trying to finish Punisher on Netflix right now, though. So my nerd heart has taken over my watching.
Yeah, I just watched the first episode a couple nights ago, and I'll watch them all. But I watched the first one, and it's a little disturbing.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I was very uncomfortable from start to finish of that.
But you're gonna watch more.
But yeah. But I mean, yeah. But you know what I mean?
Who doesn't love
to be
totally
uncomfortable? If a show can make you emotional in some form or fashion,
that's right.
It's a good show, and that one is. Right. So
you're uncomfortable, but you also like uncomfortable to the extent that you don't want to move.
That's right. Wow.
Since we're on the topic, and then we'll get back to more businesses art scheduled programming. Mindhunter on Netflix?
I have heard, and I need to check it out. Mm. Haven't done it yet, but
very good.
It's on my list.
The very first scene, if it doesn't make you feel something, I don't know. I don't know what you got up here or right here, but and I pointed to my head and where my heart is.
No one can see
for the radio listeners, which is all of you.
Yeah, it's on the list. I definitely am checking it out.
Excellent.
Well, not to distract from Netflix, wonderful content. I don't know. Do you think John's a Longmire guy?
Oh, I bet he would be.
Yeah, you should watch Longmire.
Longmire.
It's like a modern Western.
I've seen all the seasons. The new season just came out, right?
Okay.
Yes.
Well, he has.
I haven't.
So he's a Longmire guy.
I haven't watched this season yet.
It's okay. I've only seen one episode. Mm-hmm. Cam's probably done.
I'm three in.
Okay.
I was on board with Longmire before it was Netflix.
So. Yeah. So you were. That was Lance's deal too.
Oh yeah.
He was on board, and then he thought it was done, and then. He was so excited when Cam told him that Netflix had picked it up.
Yeah.
He was like, "Bow!"
I think we just randomly started talking about it. That's another great thing about
podcasts.
He's
just like, what? It's still on.
I will say this, though, about Longmire, and all apologies to the people associated with the show. I don't know why I watch it. Sometimes someone will walk in on me watching it. What are you watching? Oh, this dumb show. It's about some shit.
Oh, trust me. I've had shows like that in the past.
But I can't quit watching it.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I for what it's worth, I have wondered that sometimes. Like, I know that I like it, but sometimes I can't figure out, I'm like, why? There's not that much happening.
How many damn murders can there be in one county?
Yeah,
then?
Also, there's that America. Question.
Yeah. This place has a lot of murder.
Absaroka County, I believe, they did the math, that's and per capita, it would be the most murderous county in the United States of America.
A lot of murder.
Per 1,000 people.
I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was living there, I'd be like, I'm out of here. Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but
yeah,
we got three people working in this sheriff department. There's more murders than we can count on two hands.
That one guy in that one season wants to complain about Walt Longmire being anti-business, and I'm like, have you seen the murder rate? You want to talk about anti-business? All your customers are dying.
Yeah.
People literally get killed, so I mean, you know. Anyway.
What are we talking about?
Something about business. I don't know. I was curious. I mean, you talked, you know, from all the way up to the former CEO of Office Depot and what's the other one? AutoZone.
There you
go. I mean, you've talked to big time CEO and you've also talked to the nobodies of the world like Camden and I. What, in looking at both of those, are there commonalities that you've found in talking to these people? Or is it as divided and far apart as the country seems in terms of what they want in life and how they learn and all of that? Are they really that divided or are they closer together in your experience of talking to, I mean, probably not 100 people,
right.
But I mean, I would say, you know what, at least 60 or 70.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I mean, at least.
In all facets of business.
Yeah. I don't think they're all that different. The most of the people that I've had on the show and that could be, it could be because people just really aren't all that different, or it could just be because I'm me and I'm going out hunting down the guests. And so, you know, I try to have variety and diversity in the types of guests we have on here. But at the end of the day, I am just one individual. So maybe I'm only reaching out to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You might only have
unconsciously
a limited perspective on how many you're reaching.
Yeah, it could be. I feel but like we're getting a little diverse, getting a little esoteric here on that though. But no, I think people tend to be people. We all kind of want the same things, right? We want to be happy. We want to help make others happy. We want to be safe and secure. We want to earn a living. You know, all of those types of things. We're all. You know, we're getting a little bit political maybe, but I tend to believe that we are bound by more commonality than we are separated by our differences. We just, for whatever reason, this day and age, we seem to really focus on those differences. And, gotcha. And
you're a Ronald Reagan fan?
Ronald Reagan fan?
Sure. Well, you said it was, you know, what divides us.
Yeah, well, I wasn't trying to quote him there, but I just really do feel that way. I think we have more in common than we have differences, right down to our DNA. You know, scientifically, we have less, we have more in common than we have differences. And for whatever reason, we just seem to like to accentuate those differences in a bad way. And I think we should celebrate the differences, you know? How boring would it be if you're at a party and everybody is the same person, same personality?
Pretty awful.
Boring. Yeah.
Unless it was all Camden.
Unless it was all Camden. Camden all the time.
Hey, you act like that, B. That'd be great. Be a good thing.
That's what I said.
But, that is true.
Cam's always twisting my words.
I'm sorry.
But I don't know if I answered the question or not, but I find them equally interesting, whether they're somebody that is quote unquote, you know, kind of made it versus the person that's, you know, unknown and trying to start something.
Right.
Of all the personalities that we've had on Businesses Art over the, you know, almost 2 years at this point and another four episodes of Businesses Art, it's absolutely crazy to me how driven almost everyone is. Like, their personalities is different and they express it in different ways, but almost everybody that John has had on, I can tell this person wants something out of life. And I think that's most people probably in the business world, obviously, because you've got to have some drive that probably some other people have. But I've always found that the most interesting is one of the big threads that I've seen through everyone is, I want to get this thing done because I feel it's important and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get to that in a Businesses Art show, it's always a great episode.
Yeah.
Because you get to that with them once they stop being nervous about being on a podcast, and not all of them do that, obviously. But once some of them get the nerves shaken off and you get to that point specifically, you're off to the races.
Yeah, yeah.
The other observation, I guess, more than question that I've made is, it was just funny because Cam brought that up. I don't know if you've experienced this, but it's amazing how some of the smartest people and most confident people I've ever met who are very educated, you put a little thing like a microphone in front of them, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, it's just like, I mean, we're not even on camera, you know, and it's just yeah. like, and I think it was that way for Cam and I when we started. It was that way, I think, for you somewhat.
Yep.
It's funny to think about the moment that you introduce them into this foreign space where there's all these people that they can't
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, well,
yeah.
you know, you get really nervous. But I don't know, I guess I feel like Camden and I several years ago dropped into the groove of not having that unless, again, we were entered into a new environment. Like when we started video, when we did some live appearances and that kind of stuff, those were all times where the nerves came back and it was like, ah, we don't know what we're doing. Even though we've done this literally hundreds of times, all of a sudden we have no idea how to do this.
Yeah, well, I think even the most experienced people get stage fright once in a while, you know, for some reason. But, you know, if you think back to the very first episode we did of Business is Art, you guys really hosted the show, and I was effectively the guest. And I was pretty nervous because I'd never been on a podcast before. So, you know, it was a new experience for me. But it was very relaxed and comfortable, and I think that was because you guys had done it many, many times. And you were experienced in it. And so it was just a comfortable feel. And then the very next episode, the first one that I really truly hosted on my own, and I think the next several after that, if I listen back to them, I notice the nervousness, you know?
Right. You're like.
Now, maybe just somebody listening off the street might not, but I certainly do. And to me, there's a big, big difference in just the comfort level between now and those first, you know, couple dozen episodes. And it's mm-hmm. just
you have just my totally non-professional opinion have become such a better host and question asker, question giver over these last 100 episodes. What I was just talking about is finding that drive, mm-hmm. nailing what they want, and then going to the races, getting in the groove with a guest.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a skill. And I think if you listen to, you know, episode 12 to episode 96,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you'll see such a huge difference of, okay, John knows exactly what he's doing. He's got the questions down. He's got his formula down. And that's something interesting that I find about your show that not a lot of shows on the network actually follow is you very much have a, and I don't want to say cookie cutter because all the shows are very different, but you have a template going.
Got a
in.
Formula.
Yeah,
yeah
you got
yeah.
a formula you that to. You follow.
I mean, he's got... I was just thinking of the same thing, Cam. He's one of the, I think he's the only show, right, that consistently has different guests on almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not something that most of the other shows do. Even like CED, and I'd say they're the second probably most diverse in terms of who they have on.
Mm-hmm.
They frequently have the same 2 to 3 people that are on, you know, and then sometimes they'll bring in an outside guest, but it's not often like you where your show's almost based around,
mm-hmm.
you know, talking about it. And that's something that's, I think, an additional component of the learning curve is, you know, not only do I have to be good, I have to be good at getting people who've never done this before
yeah.
to give me something that I can work with, especially since you didn't really have a co-host basically at all, with the exception, I think, of a couple episodes that, you know, Cam and I were on at
right.
the same time as a guest. But the other thing is, I don't know if it's a question in the sense of, have you observed that I think a lot of people probably wouldn't have had the, you know, the drive, as Camden mentioned, to stick it out, to find the groove.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've tweaked how we introduce people into the system now so that it's easier for them to get in a groove.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that, you know, I think looking back, it's good that you stuck with it. Again, not that it's ending. I don't want to make it sound like that, but the I hope it's not.
100.
That's right.
And that's it.
And yeah, and surprise at the very end.
And we're gone.
And we're done. It's over. But yeah.
I know he has one guest planned in December who will probably be very disappointed if they don't get to be on a show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's the same thing with anything else that you do where you have to do enough of it to be able to follow any system, but obviously in John's case, his own system of being able to look back and say, you know, here's the things that I was doing well, here's how I've changed it. And have you, what kind of difference have you noticed from episode one to now, other than that you've got a groove,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing a little dance?
Well, you know, I initially was so set on, I have these questions that I want to ask,
uh-huh.
that, you know, I would ask a question and really not listen to the response because I was so focused on finding the time to ask that next planned question.
Like a newscaster.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so I've gotten much better at really listening to the responses, because a lot of times those responses sends us down a leg of the conversation that I wasn't anticipating, and that's usually where the juicy parts are. And so I think that has been a really solid learning experience. There's one thing that I haven't been able to master, and I'm not sure I ever will be, that I'd really like to, and that's that I can't stop taking notes during the show. I'm scribbling and writing, and, you know, as I'm listening, I'm mostly doing it for two reasons. One, I want to something the guest said spawned another question in my mind, or a point that I'd like to go back and reiterate, and sometimes I'm writing it for future reference, you know, to a future uh-huh. blog post or something else. I wish I could just be in the moment completely, put the pen down, put the paper down, and just really listen and be able to respond as if I had written that note. And
You wish you were two people, John, I think is what you're saying. Yeah. You want to be on air John, and then the other John who's listening to the telegraph here,
boop,
just writing down what it's saying.
Yeah. So but you watch interviews with, like, you know, Oprah or somebody that is, you know, or Stephen Colbert, you know.
Yeah, Howard Stern, and those guys who just do it.
Yeah, they just do it. And, and wow, what a talent that really is, you know.
Yeah. I think people falsely assume, and that's why I think it's interesting when you bring people on the first time and you put that microphone in front of them, because it's that realization in that moment, because I don't think they get it up until then, that, oh my God, this isn't as easy as I thought.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, because I think a lot of people, you know, they listen to radio hosts of all kinds. I mean, whether it's a DJ, you know, or whether it's somebody on CNN, and they think, I wish I had that job. And then, you know, you start doing it. And it's not that you don't wish you did it, because for what it's worth, I mean, I love doing it 90% of the time. I think Cameron and I, and I'm sure you have all experienced times where it's like, don't want to do it right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
today
right.
is oh, not yeah. the day I want to do it.
Yeah.
But you still have to. And it's almost, I think that's been good, at least for me, and I don't know about for you. Sometimes it's almost good on days where you don't want to do it mm-hmm. to do it, because it almost forces you into, I have to be in a better mindset because I've got to do this, and that's what my listeners are going to be expecting.
Yeah, yeah. And to that point, I'll tell you, there have been a couple of episodes where I didn't consciously say to myself before we click the record button, you know, hey, snap out of it. You've got to focus on this right now. And you listen back and you can kind of hear, you know.
Well, here I am.
Yeah. And,
John, but I don't really want to be.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to, and I think that's a life lesson for any, you can apply it anywhere, right? You've got to be in the moment at that moment and forget everything else. And
but it's not putting on a fake persona either.
No.
Right. I want to make sure that is mm-hmm. that's abundantly clear, because the mm-hmm. best podcast that you can make, in my opinion, in my heavily biased opinion, because this is the only podcast that I like to make, is where I'm me, is where I'm not trying to, you know,
push any
some sort of, you know, agenda, or be happier than I normally am, or be more sad and somber than I normally am, because that's mm-hmm. that's just not who you are. And being you, I think, is one of the most important things when you're trying to interview someone, is that they're comfortable with this person they're in front of. They can tell it's not a persona.
Yeah.
And B, just to make a good show, even if you're on a personality-driven show or a topic-driven show. I also think, since we were talking about tips for podcast, the biggest one right there is listen to your guest. It's not all about question, answer, question, answer. Because
right.
if you can't
do that.
You can.
People do.
I mean, people do it, but it's not, that's, I don't think that's where podcasts live.
Yeah.
Right now. If you want question, answer, you've got 24-hour news cycles where you can do that until, you know, in infinitum pretty much at this right. at this stage of the game.
Yeah.
But
unlimited.
Podcasts are something, I mean, just think about when people listen to podcasts in their car like they do radio shows where people are talking back and forth, or while they work out where, you know, they're wanting to listen to something that's not just, and now we drone on and talk about something. Like, it's supposed to be something that's energetic or like that they are listening to and really enjoying, because you're not, you can't work out, at least I can't, too. Oh, and here we, and now we're turning to page 84 in our
you mean
chemistry
NPR?
Textbook. Yes.
NPR
does that a little bit.
I used to be a big listener to NPR.
I like NPR. I think they're good when I want to listen to them. But, you know, podcasts are something that you want to, in a sense, make it available when anyone ever would want to listen, because that's sort of the point. But yeah,
I can completely agree. You know, since we're talking about, maybe that's what we should call this episode, is tips for podcasting. But if you are doing a podcast, it's okay to have those questions, right? Those canned questions that are either in your mind or on a piece of paper that you hope to get to, but they should never be. I don't think it should be a formulaic structure.
Right.
I've got to ask these 8 questions or I failed in my podcast duties, you know, because that's exactly how I originally approached it. I had these questions. I had to get to them.
I got to get through them.
Got to get to them.
Got to do them.
As long as
you get the script done.
Yeah, yeah. And at some point I realized that wasn't, I don't even know when it was. It'd be kind of cool if I could consciously remember how I flipped that switch, but now I just look at them as they're a guide, you know, to a conversation. But the conversation is the key. The questions are not the key. The answer's not the key. Yeah, the conversation that goes on is what's really key.
Because the biggest thing for you to realize as an interviewer, whether on TV or podcasting, if you have guests, 90% of the time, people aren't listening for you. They're listening for the answers that the people give you.
Yeah.
Which is why a conversation is better anyway, because then it gives them a reason to actually care about what you have to say.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you're just question drone, I mean, you could actually program a computer to do that.
You could.
So
Microsoft Sam could do that for you.
Why not? So.
And there are, I mean, example after example of broadcasters and podcasters who just entirely talk over their guests, right? Why do you even have this? You have the guest on here basically to cue up what you want to say, you know, and
they're your tea in golf.
Exactly.
You're about to drive and you only need this person here for about 2 seconds until they get you into what you want.
That's a good way to look at it. They tee you up. Yeah.
So I'll give you, I don't know where we're at time wise, Cam, but I'll give you a second to think about this. Either Cam will have another question or he'll be doing a read or something. But, if you had to pick a favorite show other than yours on True Chat, what would it be? And why? So you don't have to answer yet. You can tally the list in your head and, you know, assign the points. And
well, we're about at the end here, but I will do our final read before the end of the show. And apparently we pick favorites here. But True Chat will be the mortal enemy of speculation, innuendo, and stagnation. We will champion informed opinions and fresh ideas. True Chat will prove that media can be trusted, relied on, and responsible. We won't join the media elite because we're setting a new standard, a higher standard, the True Chat standard. If you have any ethical concerns with today's episode, please email ethics@truechat.org. Again, that's ethics@truechat.org. And I just want to let you know that I will not be offended too much if you don't pick one of my shows.
I only have one other question after this. So
okay, all right, okay.
I promise we won't run too long.
No, it's all right.
Well, I want to make a point here that also that's going to sound a little bit like a shameless plug. So let me first answer your question. I like the State of Us because of everything that it represents. I mean, you know, it's, you know, current issues. It's, you know, off-the-cuff commentary. I just like kind of the general chit-chat that goes along with that particular show. So
yay.
You did it.
All right.
It's fair. I mean, it's one of the two original shows.
That's
so
true. No, I'm fine.
Well, you get
it's
across.
It's a fine pick.
You know, there's multiple topics, right? So, and I kind of like that variety.
Not just politics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
So I like that. The thing that's going to sound a little bit like a shameless plug, though, is that, you know, we were talking about how one of the things that I've gotten out of the podcast is continual learning. And I just can't emphasize that point enough to folks that that's just the way you should be. I'm very fortunate enough to get that through this podcast. But if I wasn't doing this podcast, I would have other avenues, and I do have other avenues that I would use for continuous learning. And you're never too old, you're never too seasoned or experienced to learn something. And here's the part that's going to sound a little bit like a shameless plug, but it was really a cool experience. So, so we took the book, Business is Art. By the way, we're in the process of writing another book, so hopefully
we're getting a second podcast.
Hey, that's the first. Well, isn't that the first mention of that on a Business is Art podcast?
I think it might have been, because I've been kind of cautious about it. I'm co-authoring it with somebody. So
we just got the exclusive.
Was it a co-podcast? Right,
oh, yeah, my maybe. Goodness. Wow. There's so many. I was going to ask for that.
That's why you tuned in to True
question.
Chat.
Right. My last question in the show was going to be, what are we doing in the future? And apparently
it's
a co-op podcast.
I've been a little reluctant to talk about it because we haven't set the schedule. We've got about 135 pages written, but I don't really have a defined schedule for it. Oh, so
there you go. Anyway. Is it going to be called Businesses Part?
No, it is not going to be called Businesses Part, nor Businesses Fart.
That's true. Funny.
That would get some listeners.
There you go. There you go.
Maybe not the listeners who won, but
yeah, that's all about financials and articulating.
Oh, my goodness.
So thank you very much. I'll be with you all evening. it is focused on kind of the startup. So whether you are young, old, or in between, if you've never started up a business before, it's all new to you. And so that's kind of the target audience for this book. But title pending. But anyway, that's not what I wanted to mention. What I wanted to mention was Businesses Art evolved into a software, Plan Canvas, right? And I've been struggling over the last few months with how do you position this software, because I'm not all about creating a business plan for the sake of creating a business plan. I'm more about what do you put together in terms of a plan that you can execute to. That's the whole R and the T in art, is now that you've articulated it, you're tracking your progress against it, you're revising your plans as you go along. That's the execution phase. And not only do most businesses never get to the planning phase, those that do get to the planning phase, a very, very small minority ever get to the execution phase. And that's really been my focus from the get-go, is that's where the value of a plan really comes to fruition, is when you're executing to that plan. So I've been struggling with, what's Plan Canvas? It's not a tool to create a business plan. Yeah, you can do that. You can create a business plan out of it, but is that really our point? No, it's not our point. So anyways, I'm rambling a little bit, but there is a technology research firm called Gartner that's out there. There are others. There's Forrester. There's others out there as well. But Gartner is arguably the market leader in IT research. And they found me somehow and reached out to me. And, of course, they want to sell their services, but we scheduled a couple of calls and talked through a bunch of things, and had a really great call last night, about an hour and a half long presentation and conversation. And through the course of that, they basically gave me the answer, because they said, if you were a Gartner client, here's where we would fit you into our organization. And it was Plan Canvas would go into this category that they called, They called it Portfolio and Project Management, PPM. And I kind of curled my nose at that. I'm like, they don't get what we're doing. And so at some point I had an opportunity to say that. And they're like, well, we haven't finished what we're saying. We have a subdivision within PPM called Strategic Execution Management, or SEM. And it's kind of an emerging market for us. So we didn't have a great home to put it. So we put it in PPM, but that's where we really see you, is the Strategic Execution Management software. And I went, ding, 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 ding. That's exactly, they just gave me the words,
Right.
And that term, my point is, that term or phrase isn't new. It's been out there. I've been out there. I've never come across it, you know, and I felt like I should have known that term, but I didn't. And it took somebody trying to sell me something to teach me that. And now, you know, like a pit bull, I've been chomped down on that for the last 24 hours and studying all I can about it. And it was really pretty cool. This is the really shameless plug. They said, would you like to have a definition of SEM? I'm like, yes. So they read me their definition that they actually created based on surveys and input and all this from 70,000 subscribers. They narrowed it down to an 8-point definition. And Plan Canvas hit on every single one of those 8 points. Some much more deeply than others. But I was like, wow. And I had no idea.
Right.
You know, so I apologize. I know it sounded like a shameless plug, but it really was just a learning experience.
Learning and, every well, that's, day.
Yeah.
I mean, and it shows that you can do 100 episodes and there's still so much.
Yeah.
There's still so much more to explore and learn. And I mean, even for the people who, like yourself, are, you know, the true professionals in the industry who are teaching these things, that the education doesn't stop.
No. Know? Yeah, there's always somebody out there that knows something you don't. You can learn from everyone.
And hopefully you know something they don't, and you can then share share those back and forth. The last one I had is looping it back to that business component. You've done it now for, you know, almost 2 years and 100 episodes, and so you're at a point where I think, you know, you've had a few people that you've had talk to us or otherwise engage, but you have someone, you know, a client or just someone that you give help to who's saying, you know, I know you do a podcast. I know you feel like it's worth it. Should I engage in a podcast? Is that something that a business owner has any business doing? Because obviously you're a unique, I mean, everybody's a unique kind of business owner, but in the respect that your business is about helping other businesses, it's very unique in that subset of, it's not, you know, a direct-to-consumer business. Yeah. So,
yeah, I think it does depend. You know, I'd love to say, no, it's for anyone, but I don't know that it is. So if I'm Donnie the Donut Maker and I want to have a donut podcast, you know, is that really
worth it? Are you going to do 100 episodes?
100 episodes on donuts. And
hey, you don't know. there's probably some dude out there who owns a donut shop saying, "Hey,
we're gonna see that podcast bubble to the top next week."
I got 200 kinds of donuts. Donut maker. I can do at least 200.
I'll talk about all.
That's right. In-depth reporting on donuts.
Yeah.
Talking about the podcast got me hungry for donuts.
Yeah.
So, sign me up for that one.
Yeah.
I will co-host that as long as we're taste testing on the show.
Taste testing all donuts. I'm in.
Can't be more than once a week though, otherwise that could go south. Very quickly.
I agree with that though. I don't think it's a for everyone thing, but it's definitely a everyone can listen to one and gain something from it.
Yeah.
Especially
there's
if
one
you're
out there for
owner.
Everybody.
I tell you what, man, I've got I actually talked about him last show, but Ben Pennington, he's on the Nerdcast and the Weekly Screen, never owned a business, never has thought about owning a business, listens to your podcast about twice a month.
Well,
just learns. He says he learns so
Ben.
Much about no. He says no problem. Probably. he loves it. It's just it teaches him so much about how, you know, people who own businesses think, and therefore he can take that knowledge and go out into the world with it and know where people are coming from, and you're able
makes
to
you
understand.
Worker.
Right, makes you a better worker. Makes you understand where they're coming from more. It's not just, well, I own this business, so I make $1 trillion kind of thing. Like
right.
you learn a lot of things. You learn that one probably the first episode
right.
you listen to.
Would you say that's the number one myth that you run into? Is that if you own your own business, you must be rich?
You must be rich or an asshole. Yeah.
That second one, I don't know.
Yeah. If you manage people,
that's
I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's certainly a myth that's out there. So
do you I guess since we're winding down a little bit here, do you have any specific plans for the podcast, or
what's the next 100 look like?
Yeah,
next are there going to be a next 100? I mean, you know, I don't know.
Maybe we're canceling it right here. Maybe it wasn't.
You might
a joke.
Be.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't a joke. I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, no. I just like to think of it as something that will continue to evolve. You know, when. We literally had this conversation when the show started. You know, what did any of us want to get out of it? And
We did write some things down.
We did.
Yeah. And I, though, I love that. I didn't write too much down because as much as I really am obviously a firm believer in writing down your goals and objectives and putting plans together for meeting them, this one stumped me. I mean, I distinctly remember telling you guys, I don't have really any objectives with this. I don't even know how to define any objectives with it. And that was odd for me to do, something like that. So it was really a leap of faith, but so
can
far,
you,
de- I think
can
it's
you define them
well.
Now?
I can define some objectives, that, I would like to see. So in terms of, subscribers, I'm not going to say, on the show what I'd like there, but I would like to, have a certain number of subscribers before I would feel like, okay, well, this is a popular show.
Right.
And by popular, I don't mean, I mean like on a national or international level,
Right.
So I have some thoughts there. I have some thoughts in terms of, we mentioned we cross-reference shows all the time. Well, I would like to see measurable results of, subscribers to Business is Art now tuning into other True Chat shows or vice versa.
Yeah. The tracking of the metrics.
Yeah, the tracking of the metrics. I don't have, I didn't have, when we started the show, I had no thoughts of, well, we do this podcast and if I get, 1,000 listeners, that's going to result in 100 book purchases or anything like that.
We're trying to nail down the math.
Yeah. I still haven't gone there and I don't think I will. I get that question all the time. How much business has the podcast resulted for you or for Plan Canvas or for Business is Art? And my answer is always the same. I don't have any idea if it's even generated a dollar on any of those, and I don't care. Because while I did start the podcast as sort of a promotional avenue for the book, it became something much more to me personally. And now that personal mission with the podcast is far more important. So
yeah, I think it's not bad, I would say, that almost everyone we talk to is return on investment minded when it comes to this.
Right.
But I think it's an interesting observation that John's made, having done it, to look back and say that's not really – it has that side effect, hopefully. I mean, everybody hopes that it generates them revenue in some way. But sometimes it doesn't directly correlate to revenue. And I think we've tried to explain to people that you can do it with the mindset of wanting to sell stuff. But people aren't idiots, and they tend to see through that. I mean, they don't listen to 100 episodes of a sales pitch,
Yeah.
Because who wants to do that?
Right.
I mean, even if you really love what you're being sold, even if you really love donuts, could you really listen to 100 episodes about each kind of donut and how it's made? Because chances are you don't love all 100 kinds of donuts,
Yeah.
I mean, so I think that it's important for other people to think about, too. There used to be a lot more, and you know better than I, I'm sure, but it seems like there used to be a lot more focus in the business world of public relation building.
Yeah.
And the importance of how do people see you and your business, you know, and not just how do I extract money from the revenue source? I talked sadly, that's part of how it is how am I going to suck this well dry until it's given me everything it has?
Right. And there are tons of podcasts out there that's exactly what they do, right?
That's exactly what they do. That's right. I mean, how do I get the people that are tuning in to pay me for the podcast? And then how do I get them to buy other stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do I get them to give me money monthly for something else?
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that True Chat's fundamentally built away from that, and one of the reasons I'm glad that John's show, never really took on, I never felt like it's taken on a buy my book, because it's the answer to all your problems mentality, even though it is.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Right? Yeah, I mean, of course. You should buy his book.
It's available on Amazon.
That's right. That's I was just about to say, you can buy it.
I think we have more times jokingly plugged the book
than actually plugged the book.
That's probably true. I would say that 100%.
Anti-sales.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, so by the way, now that we're talking about this, make it the most obvious plug in the world.
That's right. Super obvious plug. We should come up with a soundbite that we play every time that comes up. Book plug alert. Yeah. Buy the book.
The shameless self-plug. Yeah.
But I think that's, I don't know, I think that's, it's an interesting observation, and I'm glad that John is one of those people like the others that we've had the opportunity to work with who understands that there's a value in connecting with people. What's the guy's name who's one of the founders of What Makes Marketing Work, who I talked to?
Joshua Lysik, Steve White.
Yeah, Steve White. I had a great conversation with him about, and him explaining too, that part of what they're all about is understanding that marketing and sales doesn't start and stop at here's what we sell, here's how it benefits you, and here's how much money you can make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when it does, that's when it becomes empty, and that's also when it tends to not be stable for any kind of long period of time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just interesting to see that you've discovered that it has a lot more value to you. Less from a revenue standpoint and more from a I learn and I experience and I connect. And it's almost a, I don't know if you've used it this way, but it's almost like a, I do a podcast and I'd like you to be on.
Yeah.
As a, almost as an introduction to a way to meet these people.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah.
A good reason to engage when you might not have otherwise engaged.
Yeah. It's a really effective means to building relationships. And like I said, networking, it's very valuable that way. I think it's also very valuable in terms of, just street creds. You know, when the whole reason I wrote a book in the first place was I was reading a book that said, hey, if you want to be taken seriously as a consultant, write a book. Okay. I'll write a book. And,
I'll do it.
And I think,
damn it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Wrote a pretty damn good book, in my opinion, writing a book.
Well, thank you.
For the guy who read in a book to write a book, wrote a pretty good book. Do you tell people in your book to write a book?
I don't think I do, but I will tell you this. If anyone is thinking about writing a book, don't do it the way I did. Start building that platform ahead of time. And all the experts out there tell you that, and I ignored them all because I was in a hurry to write my damn book, right? So, and the other thing is I really went in, I know we're getting off topic here, but I really went into the book with a frame of mind that I'm writing this book for street creds. I'm not writing a book to sell a book. And I think I would have a different mentality today. I think I would say, well, it's both. It doesn't have to be one or the other,
right?
You know, I let the publisher really be the kind of the seller and marketer of the book, even though I'd read, you know, and heard well ahead of time that if that's the approach you take, you're not going to sell many books because it's just not going to happen. You have to really take ownership of that selling and marketing of the book. And I chose not to because that wasn't why I was writing the book. And I just had this kind of faulty frame of mind. You know, it didn't have to be one or the other. It could have been both. So this next one, I'm going to sell the shit out of it.
And yes, street cred. Yeah. I've written two books.
If you're going to write a book for street cred, you might as well write a good one. You might as well write one that'll sell.
That's right. By the way, if you have any issues with today's episode, you can contact ethics.
Hey, I already said that.
That's right. You got that in there.
So,
I did get that in there.
But yeah, if anything, I think aside from what I get out of the podcast, the learning, the networking, the experience of just talking about these topics and applying them, that's valuable too, right? But aside from that, I think it does give one street creds if you are out and you can mention to someone, hey, I have this podcast, by the way. Got 100 episodes,
That's right.
X number of thousands of listeners.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff is a weapon in your arsenal, man. I remember meeting people and saying, sometimes this helps and sometimes it didn't, I'm 21 and I own my own radio marketing business or whatever we were calling it at that time, since we've called it 8 trillion different things. And it's just, it's a huge foot in the door with anyone you meet. I mean, if it's bartender at Joe Blow Bar or an actual business associate that you're trying to meet to market to, I mean, it's huge. You just, you get such a, well, that's interesting. Tell me more about that kind of response from someone. And then you're in a dialogue. Once you're in a dialogue with somebody, that's easy. That's the easy part is talking.
Yep.
At least, at least in my experience.
Opening the door.
Opening the door is often the hardest part.
It's it's almost like an elevator pitch, right? That's exactly what an elevator pitch is supposed to do. It's supposed to make somebody go, well, that's interesting. I'd like to hear more about it very briefly. And it can be part of your elevator pitch.
All right. Well, we've gone almost an hour here, which I you know, which I assumed from this episode, since you've got the two chattiest humans on this this True Chat network.
Cam's no time limit, Cam. So
no, I've never believed in a time limit. It's where we've disagreed in the past.
Well, so. You know, I think you just threw out a show idea though. Truly chatty on the True Chat
truly
network.
Truly chatty on the True Chat network. But I will.
So we're gonna put all of Cam's stuff. It'll be a new section of the network.
There you
truly
go.
Chatty.
There you go. Every Cam's episode over chatty. An hour. It will be only right. episodes that Cam is on.
Yeah.
They can only
wow,
go there.
This one's 5 hours long.
Oh my God! What the heck did he even talk about?
You half act like it, that's not possible.
It's definitely possible. But I just want it like a 3 hour mark, just me making eggs. That's all you can hear is just.
We messed with like 2 hour episodes.
Oh yeah, we did. Oh yeah,
there's people out there who do that. I mean, it works for them.
I've seen the longest I've seen is about a 3.5-er.
Wow.
Out there,
the longest show we've
got where they've got a lot of people listening. Yeah, about a 3.5-hour podcast
was what 8 or 9 hours. It was election night.
It was election night. 8 or 9
right. Now, granted,
hours of,
we had, you know, we rotated to get like
yeah, and
30
get some
minutes
breaks
off
in and stuff. Yeah.
But it was still.
Well, anyway.
None of the networks did that.
Yeah.
It's intense.
What?
Your man, John Umstead.
Yeah, your man, John Umstead.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah,
anniversary.
That is.
Thangil.
Birthday is more fun.
But if you have any comments for the peeps out there before we get out of here.
Well, I do have a thank you, because, you know, if we were getting no listeners, then there would be no point, in doing this.
There would be no 100th
well,
episode.
There would
I
be
can.
Limited point in
that's,
doing
that's
it.
Right.
Yeah, so, but, you know, so thank you for that. And, let's continue to build. I guess my only other comment is I've been much more active lately in really inviting our listeners to get active, you know, send us comments, messages, let's start dialogues and conversations. Want to know about, you know, what they thought of episodes, want to know what kind of topics they'd like to have covered. And we're constantly looking for interesting guests to throw onto the show. So really want that feedback and input from the listeners.
Where can they do that?
They can do that in a number of places. So they can contact True Chat directly.
Oh, he's got
it.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the script.
Go to the truechat.org website and look for contact information there. Look us up on Facebook, Twitter. You can find me on
John
all of those.
On
John Umstead on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on Facebook. You can go to the plancanvas.net website, another shameless plug. all kinds of ways to get a hold of us, so check us out.
That's 4 shameless plugs now, by the way.
I was just giving
them up.
Yeah. We've not used the term willy-nilly yet in this episode, and it has become a new goal to say willy-nilly at some point in every episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happened, I crap you not, like, 3 or 4 episodes in a row there where willy-nilly was just used all willy-nilly in shows.
People that don't use the term willy-nilly use willy-nilly on this show for some reason.
It's quite strange.
So don't go willy-nilly on us. Do look us up purposefully and send us some good ideas.
Yeah, rock and roll.
But I appreciate you guys, too, giving me the opportunity to be on the network.
And, well, thanks for sticking with us. I mean, hey, I think we owe you more than you owe us at this point. So
that's recorded for the ages now.
I didn't admit anything.
No, you said nothing.
I hold no culpability to the statements of Justin T.
I say nothing.
None whatsoever. Yeah. I'll let him dig his own grave over there.
You got the guy that signs the contracts, too, to say that.
I'll tell you what.
Should ask the lawyers about that before.
Kidding.
Legal counsel, give me
you're lucky
a call.
I have a giver's heart.
So. All right, ladies and
generous
germs.
John, that's
generous
what they call
John.
That is. Don't forget. that you can join the conversation on our app or website, truechat.org. Also at truechatinc for that official Twitter at there.
Go to the website.
Go to the website. That's where we will.
It's the easiest place to
comment. It's the easiest. Yep, you can comment on anything you want. We've been getting more of them recently, though, on a bunch of different shows.
That's good.
So it is good. It is very good.
Had several on the State of Us recently from the ones that were the most detailed were from the same person, but they were nice.
That's
so
good.
I think encouraging them and hosts starting the conversation is important, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you already listen to podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, or some other platform, you can also subscribe to our shows there. For Business is Art on True Chat in Urbana, Ohio, my name's Cam Pierce.
I guess so. We started out with John going second, so I figured we'd follow the same cue.
Your Oscar music is playing.
I'm Justin
T.
Weller.
Out of here. Lord in heaven. I'll tell you what.
I'm John Umstead. Thank you very much for listening.
There you go. We will see you next time on Business is Art. Be the change.